This morning, I wanted to get into a bit of the deceit and confusion that we see in the world today. And even worse yet, that same deceit and confusion is creeping into a lot of our churches. First, we'll look a little bit at just things we've come across on in the world, in the news and whatnot. So, but we know that the world is blind to God's laws and ordinance. But here's a couple examples of how opposite it gets. At a public university in Cambridge, England, Professor Patricia McCormick teaches continental philosophy. Now, that subject's a little hard to nail down, but generally what it is, it's a study of everything that rejects the natural law as pertains to human beings. So everything that the natural world tells us, this teaches exactly opposite. And this is what she teaches. And she teaches this because of the damage we have done to the planet and its creatures, that human reproduction should be gradually phased out, an apocalypse would be an optimistic beginning, new beginning and rebirth for the earth and its non-human occupants. So this is what you can pay to take this course. And she's employed. And she has books out. So her goal is to eradicate the only thing God created on this earth that is in his image. So she obviously has no regard for human life or sanctity of human life or anything or what God created in his image. So this is the kind of people that are teaching young adults in a university. Next we have Greta the environmentalist. At a climate change march in Turin, Italy, she told world leaders they should be put up against a wall if they don't act on climate change as she sees fit. And then she has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize for the second year in a row. I don't know, but her statement didn't sound too peaceful to me, yet still she gets airtime and speaks to our young people all over the world. Okay, now in contrast to this, on February 11th, just a few weeks ago, in the Virginia House of Delegates, a Reverend Dr. Robert M. Grant Jr. opened the session in prayer. In that prayer, he denounced abortion, homosexual marriage, and asked God to forgive their country and guide them on a road to repentance. Doesn't sound too crazy to me. Sounds like what we should all pray for our country. For his efforts, he was heckled during his prayer, and the Speaker of the House cut him short by pounding her gavel repeatedly. And so that's what the truth of God's word gets us nowadays. And in this country, our taxes go to pay for abortions, assisted suicides, our lawmakers legalize drugs, homosexual marriage, and makes it so men and women can live together with no legal documentation or ceremony before God and call it a union. I've heard of couples, a marriage license doesn't tell me whether I'm married or not. Well, maybe not, but you were only too willing to sign a piece of paper if you were buying a house or a car or adopting a pet at the animal shelter. You can sign papers for all that, but for marriage, no, apparently it's not a big deal. Even when it comes down to our food, God created vegetables and meat, milk and honey, all things that were good. But now we want our veggies to be our new meat. We squeeze the almond for milk, and our sweetener comes from a packet called aspartame. So this is the world we live in. Everything God created or ordained, mankind, with the prodding of Satan, turns it upside down and backwards, thus creating mass deception and confusion. But we've come to expect this from the world. But what about, what is the church? Are we drastically different? Well, I remember Dad coming home from conferences, from the Mennonite conferences, and telling us how they didn't know how to address certain issues, which he thought were quite obvious. They had divorced people as leaders of churches, and then they wanted to incorporate women as leaders, which God did not intend. God ordained men to do that job, not because women are incapable of doing that job, not at all. It's only because God ordained it to be that way, and that's what he chose, and that's how he wanted it. It's almost the same as him choosing the Jews as his chosen people. He could have chose anybody he wanted, but he chose the Jews, and he chose that plot of land on the end of the Mediterranean, and that's just the way it is. Now, our Mennonite church is also, in some of the latest song books, don't recognize God as Father. He could be called Mother or even Other. When Jesus clearly taught us that God was his Father and we were to pray as he did, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Some of our Mennonite churches also recognize homosexual marriage and participate in pride activities. And again, we see how the confusion, everything that God ordains, we're heading for exactly opposite. And why is this? Why does this happen? Maybe it's because we don't read God's word enough. And even when we do, we pick out what we like, or we don't believe it, and maybe we don't really take it to heart. Paul wrote to the church in Rome about exactly all these things, and this is what God instructed him to write. Now in Romans 1, 19 to 32, he goes through everything that the world and even the churches want to do, and he's writing to the church in Rome. They obviously were wanting to do what our churches do now. So in verse, 19. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because the word is quite plain, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. So just creation. It doesn't give us, we should know God, and we have no excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, the birds, and the animals and the reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. This all sounds quite familiar, what we do nowadays. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. So that's what some of our Mennonite churches do too. They allow these things to, not that these things are abnormal, but God, He wants us to be a new being. He wants us to be a new creation. So we see that the world and some of our churches already do this. So how do we combat all the confusion and deceit? And how do we retain the knowledge of God so we don't go down that road? By being in His Word daily. That's where the knowledge of God is. Ask Him to send the Holy Spirit to us, to explain it clearly, to give us the desire and ability to understand it and live according to that knowledge. And then make sure, this is the most important part, that we keep it going and teach it to our kids. Recently, I apologized to my kids for not making our daily devotions as big a priority as I should have when they were younger. Because there are only 52 Sundays a year, and if we're sick for a couple, at work for a couple, snowed in for one or two, at sporting events, holidays, family gatherings for a few, how many are left for God? 30, 35 Sundays maybe? I don't think that's enough time to retain the knowledge of God and combat all of the confusion and deceit that we have in the world, since we're bombarded with it 24/7 for the other 330 somewhat days. So daily, let's direct ourselves and our kids to God's Word so we can all be equipped with the knowledge to battle the deceit and confusion which is all around us. In Deuteronomy 11, verse 6, Moses was telling this to God's people. Sorry, 11:16, sorry. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. So that's what we get if we don't stay in God's Word. And then in verse 18 and 19, he told them what to do with the Word of God. And in 18 it says, fix these words on your mind, in your hearts, and fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds, tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit down at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Also in Proverbs 21, verse 6, it tells us very easily, very simply, train a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. It's the thing about God's Word, if we're taught it, and it's, even if it's uncomfortable sometimes, if it's drilled into us when we are older, we will, it's hard to get young people to remember these things. They forget because they're strong and able, but when you need God, then they'll know where God is and how to get a hold of Him. So I pray that we come closer to God through His Word and pass it down on to our children. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.